But the woods were full of them, and they were so prominent you could see them. What in the world has happened to the trees? And we found out that underneath them were a year, the last years they bore, and they were all sour and bad. We picked them up a while before we were discovered that they were too old and weren't good to eat. We had to pull them back out in the woods, and we knew there's something terribly wrong. There were not any other chestnut trees that we found alive on that place. A school was right nearby, so we became interested and were told that there was some kind of virus that had hit the natural chestnut trees. And we knew it was a tragedy, but that then passed off. But that's clear in my memory as anything there is. I can see those trees in my mind right now and how sad it was. So we would chase over the mountain and almost count them. There were so many of them. It's so sad.
About right. Okay. Of course, we were really aware of it. We got chestnuts after it hit, but it killed them pretty quickly, seemed like. And I'd say by 1940, they were just, wasn't hardly any left. It was sad because everybody liked chestnut. I think back, and it really was sad because we had had so much fun, you know, with chestnuts, and it couldn't have hit a tree that would have been any worse than the chestnut tree. I don't think if a blight hit any other species, that was the one that really hurt worse. How sad it looked. I remember it. I can just see it in my mind right now, how sad it looked to see. I know one place up there, this was in Allen County, across Bays Fork Creek in Allen County. I remember that they had new ground where they cleared out, you know, going to fix up for future farming, but they didn't want to cut the chestnut trees and left all the chestnut trees standing. When the blight hit them, it seemed like it just got them all at once, and it's just like tombstone. You know, in summertime, there's all those dead trees through that. And that was really sad just to look at that place. All those chestnut trees just died at one time. I mean, there wasn't any green at all in them. They just died right all at once.
And I lived in town, and therefore I was not out in the woods much. But, and therefore, I didn't really know the chestnut tree. It was gone before I really could remember. But people my age who were out in the woods, country people, do remember it. And there were lots of conversation about it. And my dad, I vividly remember my dad talking about it. I remember tears coming to his eyes when he would think about the chestnut and all it meant to him, and then know it was gone.
I'll recount some of the stories my father told, because he was accused of the blight following him from New England, because he moved from New Hampshire to where he was district ranger in the, Green Mountains there, I guess, to middle Virginia, to Irwin, Tennessee, to Hot Springs, North Carolina, to Bent Creek. I think a lot of the chestnut followed, a lot of the blight followed about the same route. The fact of the matter was, he laid out a lot of the Appalachian Trail, and he had the measuring wheel. I guess the only one the Forest Service had then. So he brought the wheel with him as he came to lay out more trail. That was just a small part of the job, but a lot of his cronies attributed to his moves to they didn't have the wheel there yet. He thought that the spread he could see was tied to tannin mills or acid plants where they tan leather, because they bought the chestnut bark. The blight spread seemed to radiate from those tanning plants. Have you ever heard that?
What was that, the late 20s and early 30s? I would think it's early 30s. I would have been 12. in the early 30s. At 1930, I would have been 12. So really, I don't remember too much about them because I wasn't... I remember seeing the dead trees after they started getting the blight, but everybody was worried about the chestnut trees dying. Well, it was just a tradition, all those trees we'd had, and then see the dead trees standing there, that upset them too. It was a tragedy.
All I remember, my dad would say, "Well, we won't have no chestnuts this year, all the trees is dying over there." So we knew right then that we wouldn't get any chestnuts. And that's about all I remember about. That's a long time ago, you see. I'm 85 years old. I was 7 or 8, 10 years old when I was doing that.
Whenever they died, they couldn't figure it out. You hear everybody talking, you know, wondering what killed them or how come them to die out, you know. And I never did hear nobody say what caused them to die. But now they went, and whenever they went fast. But it's one after another, you know.
I remember when, I didn't know what it was, but I remember when the chestnuts began to die. Then first thing you know, there weren't any. We'd go hunt chestnuts, it wasn't the trees, it was all dead. And of course, they were still standing, you know. Then a lot of them, they'd take them to the mill to saw lumber and split rails and make their regular fence. Well, it worried them. It worried them. Of course, at that time, you didn't hear a lot of talk about it, but you could hear them say, "Well, the old big chestnut, where we used to find a lot of chestnuts, it's a dying." They could see the leaves, you know, and it didn't last long. They started dying. They a year or two or three there, and they was all gone. That blight killed them all out, you know. They didn't have that for lumber, and they didn't have that to make the rails out of, and we used to use it for firewood, and, you know, we liked to play hull roll with them, and we could gather them and boil them, bake them. That'd be something to snack on, you know. And all that was a valuable... I guess that's the most valuable timber in these hills, that chestnut tree.